You've been in a storm. Seems like forever, and your nights of confusion seems oh so long. Your ship has lost anchor, and the storm's got you drifting. But the night's almost over, so ride out your storm. Ride out your storm. God's right there with you. Though you may not feel Him, oh, but you're not alone. You're hurting now, but your answer is coming. Just hold on to Jesus and ride out your storm. Remember His promise. He said, I'll never forsake you. Though the waters are raging, they'll do you no harm. Don't give up the battle, for your answer is coming. Just hold on to Jesus and ride out your storm. Ride out your storm. God's right there with you. Though you may not feel Him, oh, but you're not alone. You're hurting now, but your answer is coming. Just hold on to Jesus and ride out your storm.
And then about a lot of things whenever I'm out and somebody will mention something and I'll, what in the world are you talking about? Well, it's this. It's very simple. And, you know, it come down to what you say, Brother Junior. This is not my home. I mean, I'm concerned about what goes on, but I'm concerned about what goes on in people's hearts. I'm concerned about, you know, we all have a storm that goes on. We all have things that trouble us in our lives. And right now, up in Connecticut, and not just there, but all over the world, the advice is to hold on to Jesus, to go to Jesus. Now, the world will not accept that.
Lord, help me, God, I pray.
The world will not accept that answer. Yet that is the true answer. That's the only answer that can cure. I often talk about how sometimes, you know, you may get sick, you may have an ailment, and you'll go to a doctor, and they'll cure a symptom, but they won't cure the disease. You see, that's a very common thing today as well. You know, my head hurts, so here, take an aspirin.
Right.
Well, there may be an underlying problem that why that head is hurting, and you may take away the pain, but the problem is still there. And I find that that is what the world, that is how the world is coping with sin today. You see, they're taking all kinds of medication, all kinds of this and that to cure their symptoms. But I want you to know, friends, that you can cure all the symptoms all day long, but the problem is still there. There is only one cure for sin, and that is Jesus Christ. That is the only way that you are going to get peace. That is the only way that you can be satisfied. Oh, I know you can gain it for a little bit out here in the world, or at least you think you can. You can divert your attention to the things of the world, and they will pacify you for a short time. But then those things are going to fade. New technologies are going to turn, and you're going to want the new and improved thing that comes out. I want you to know, friends, there is not a new and improved Jesus. Oh, why? Because it was done right the first time. There is none other than Jesus that can forgive sin. There is no other way that man can make it from earth to heaven except it be through and by Jesus Christ. So today, friends, if it be the Lord's will, I want to tell you about this man called Jesus. I want to tell you what Brother Junior, he can do for you in your life. Like I said, I know we all in some form or fashion have problems, have troubles. Some may be greater than others. But I want you to understand, friends, it doesn't matter what your problem is. You can have eternal life. You can have eternal peace if you only turn to Jesus Christ. You see, the world will tell you, if you want satisfaction, work overtime. They'll say, go out, leave this old country and go to the big city where opportunity is. It'll tell you that you need to forsake your family and you need to move out over here and you need to do these things. But I want to let you know today, friends, if you want peace, if you want happiness, friends, I'm going to plead to you today, fall out with sin and turn to Jesus. Turn to the one, friends, as the brother preached, has defeated death, hell, and the grave. There is no employer out there has done this for you. There is no parent that can do this for you. There is no earthly friend that can do this for you. The only one that can do this for you is sitting on the right hand of the Father. Friends, the one that walked the perfect life. Friends, the one that walked up Calvary. The one that took the beating for you. The one, friends, the Bible teaches me that we are justified by His blood. We are saved by His death. And friends, we are restored by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can do it for you. Friends, I want you today, I want you to turn to this man, and I am drawn this morning to the cross of what Jesus done. And I see, when you see the cross, you'll see two people up there with him. You'll see one on the right hand and one on the left. Friends, today, I want you to know, I think that represents today all of humanity up there on the cross with him. I think if you read the way I see it, brothers, you see, I believe there's two men in this race. And I believe that one is that inward man and one is that outward man. But it also, I believe the gospel, I always tell it like this, it's like an onion. You see, you keep peeling it back, you can keep going and going with it. If the Lord will bless you to get deeper and deeper. But what I want you to see today is that up on this cross there was two other men. And I want you to see, friends, that they were as guilty as the day is long. And I want you to know, friends, that there is not a one of us in here today that have come to that age of accountability. We are guilty and we are responsible for our guilt.
Absolutely, brother.
And you see, I want you to know the world right now, there's people formulating a reason why what happened up there happened. And we're going to blame this. And we're going to blame that. Friends, we need to take responsibility for our own actions. The truth of the matter is, we have all sinned and we have all come short of the glory of God. We can't blame this person. We can't blame that person. We can't blame this church. We can't blame that way. Friends, we have done it. We are responsible for what we've done. And so I want you to know today that I see the two men up there on the cross. And friends, they were guilty. They were thieves. They had done wrong and they were deserving what they were getting. And so here they are communicating. They had salvation right there in the middle of them. Friends, but you see, you had finally one of them said, this man is innocent. We are getting what we deserve. We deserve this. And you see, friends, I want you to see exactly what happened here. There was one over there, and he was tempting the Lord. If you be, if this, and if that, prove it to me. Get down and get me down. I want you to understand, friends. You see, these were two men at the end of their life. We don't know what the future holds for us. We may none make it out of this building alive. We don't know. Friends, but here was two people, and they were staring at the end. And one of them was trying to hold on with everything he could to this world. One of them was wanting the next breath, and he wanted to continue to do what he was doing in this world because that's all he had. And so he was trying to get any way possible to get down so he could go back to doing what he loved. But you see, friends, there was another one. And finally, friends, this one realized, yes, the end is here. I am guilty. I have done these things. So, friends, he looked to salvation right there. I want you to understand, friends, salvation is here today. Salvation is just a heartbeat away. Salvation is just a question away. We preach sometimes about whenever we read about the jailer. And I love preaching about that jailer because, you see, he too was down there at the end of his life. He had lost all hope. I want you to see he had a responsibility to guard this prison that Paul and Silas were in. And so here he was. He was there and the earthquake came. And here the gates flew open. And you know, he woke up and I guess and he saw that the doors were open and he just thought everybody was gone. So seeing the very end of his life, he had given up all hope and he was ready to throw himself on his sword.
Yeah.
But you see, he heard something in there. He heard something saying, don't do yourself this harm. Oh no, we're still here. And so this man started inquiring, but I love the question, Brother Terry, that he asked.
He did.
He asked a very important question. And I believe today, friends, if you want to go to heaven, you will ask this question at some point. You see, and the question that was asked was, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You see, friends, I want you to know this man was interested. This man had realized that time was going to run out in this world and he had nothing. He wanted what Paul and Silas. You think your walk doesn't mean anything in this world? I want you to know, friends, your actions mean a whole lot. Oh, don't get me wrong. You can't get saved by your works. Oh, but you can let your light shine by what you do. And here was Paul and Silas. You see, they had a rainstorm, if it's all right. They had a big wicked storm. They were in jail. They were being persecuted for doing the Lord's work. But you see, I want you to realize, while they were there, they were not saying, oh, poor me, Brother Terry. Oh, woe is me. No, no. They were singing out praises to the Most High King. I want you to see, that's exactly what we need to be. If our minds are always fixated on Christ, I want you to know, friends, if we're doing that, we will too in the times of persecution. We will sing out praises to the Lord. I want you to know sometimes we take our eyes off of Christ and we say, poor, pitiful me. You see, I look and again, me and Brother Willie, we kind of preach about Peter when he was walking out on the water. And I love that illustration because it's so perfect. And I want you to imagine, they weren't out there in a little rowboat, were they? It was a big ship. You don't just step off of into the water. You leap off in the ship under the water. And when they looked off and they saw something coming, walking out on the water, and then Jesus told them it was Him, He asked. He asked, you see. He asked and said, "Can I come?"
Well, yeah, come on.
Friends, have you asked today? Again, the Bible is very clear. We have not because we ask not. And if you ask, you shall receive it. If you came here today and you have not asked for the Lord to save you, guess what? You've not been saved. I'm like you. I'm a simple man. Mind. I can't get too deep, but you know what? I don't have to. The gospel is simple. I get tickled. I used to do it too. I used to say, "Well, I can't understand this." Friends, that's because the natural mind will never grasp it. It can't grasp it. If you don't have the mind of Christ, you can't understand it. And when you have the mind of Christ, you realize that Christ done it all and you just give it over to Him. But that's so hard to understand with the natural mind. But you see, Peter here, he was up on this ship and he sees and he asks. After they were afraid, they were scared. "Fear not, it is me." And so he bidded Peter to come. And like I said, I don't see Peter just going, "Well, I wonder if it's okay." You don't get saved that way. You don't get saved holding on to somebody here and reaching out. You've got to let go. And that's exactly what he done. He took a leap off that boat and friends, he walked up on the water. He did what man says is impossible. He did what science will say it is impossible. But I want you to know today, it is impossible for you to get born again except it be done by Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. You see, with Christ, all things are possible. And Peter leaped off that boat and he walked up on the water. Oh, what a witness that would be. Oh, I want you to know, friends, if we keep our eyes fixated on Jesus Christ, doing and trusting what He says do, we can walk upon the water. But the problem is, even there with Peter, he walked upon that water, but then the problems came. All the troubles come. If you think you don't have troubles in this life, friend, they're coming if you haven't got them so far. I want you to know we all have them. You're not, that's just part of, Jesus never promised that you wouldn't have a problem. And here come Peter, walking up on that water, and no doubt I can just imagine him walking out there. Oh, you see, and the waves start coming, and he starts realizing, what am I doing out here? Safety of the boat is back there. I can't do this.
He couldn't.
And he couldn't. That's exactly right. So he takes his eyes off of Jesus. He puts it, Sister Sarah, up on the waves, up on the problems, and he starts to sink. But you know, right there in that time of need, friends, whenever you're sinking, again, it wasn't just one of those little things. You just tried to swim. I know there's a lot of people that try to swim for it. And I want you to know there's a lot of people that die in their sins because of it. I like to put it like this, friends, and I've said it time and time and time again, and Brother Junior told you, Jesus has already paid the price for your sins. He paid for all of your sins. People die and they go to the land of the lost because not for the sin, it's because they fail to believe. They fail to trust in what Jesus has already done. They try to swim for it instead of looking at Jesus and saying, "Jesus, save me or I perish." You see, that's what Peter done. Peter was weak in his faith and so he started to sink. But he reaches up and he says, "Lord, save me or I perish." Friends, I want you to know, unless you do that, our friend, you're going to perish. But you see, salvation is right there. It's one holler away. It's one scream from the heart away. A friend, save me or I perish. And you see, I want you to go back to the jailer. So what must I do to be saved? What must I do? The Bible says, well, you have to obey this, this, this. You have to walk this way. You have to wait so long. Is that what the Bible says? Doesn't say that, does it? Does it say you have to give 10%, you have to do this, and you have to work so long? It doesn't say you have to work out all this and work, work, work. It doesn't say that. It says, if thou believest.
One thing.
Friends, I want you to understand, and I'm not talking from the heart. I'm not talking head religion. I mean, I'm talking from the heart. I'm not talking head religion here. I'm not talking that. Jesus got all the lip service that he ever wanted. He got it. When he was here, you see, there was these Pharisees, these real religious types. And I want you to know, now they walked a straighter line than what anybody could imagine. Now they was right on it. And I want you to know, friends, Jesus let them know real quick, you know, you're giving me lip service. You see, I don't want your lip service. I want it from the heart.
Amen.
He says, there are those that honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Friends, Jesus wants your heart. The Bible says, God, he is not a lip searcher, is he?
That's right.
He's a heart searcher. He knows the very depths of your heart. And friends, I want you to know, he knows whenever you're serious, and he knows whenever you're just wanting to get over the next hill. He knows all this. You're not going to get away with just doing it your way, or doing it this way, or doing it the other way. There is one way. And Jesus Christ is that way. And friends, I want you to know, the Bible teaches me that he done all the work for you. All the work. But you have to trust in him. You have to believe in him. And not one of these haphazard little beliefs. Not, well, it's Sunday, so I guess I have to go to church and then I can get on with my life. Not that kind. Trust me, that's going on. I want you to get Jesus Christ in your life. Well, we like to put it like this. I don't know, Brother Terry, you may have even preached. Jesus is in your life.
Can't get him out.
Regardless if you believe it or not, he's there. You can't get him out of your life. But do you trust him? Do you trust him? Friends, that is where it's all at today. I want you to know, Jesus did all the work. He walked the walk. He talked the talk on your behalf and on my behalf. He did it all, Brother Willie. And I've learned a long time ago that Brother Darrell can't save himself.
Nobody. I tried it.
I couldn't work it out. I couldn't bargain. I couldn't do those things. It came down to the point to where I was like that jailer. I said, what must I do? And you know, the answer came to me. Why don't you trust me? Why don't you trust what I've done, what I've said? Go and listen. They're preaching it. Why don't you go listen to them? Quit listening to what they're saying and then saying, well, I'm not going to believe that. I'm going to go another way. You see, whenever I get sick, I go to a doctor, somebody who is qualified. Whenever my car is messed up, some of you may have enough. No, I don't. I take it to somebody to somewhere where they can work on it and fix it. I want you to know, friends, if you're sick, if sin is ruling your life, Jesus Christ, he has set it up a certain way. Now, he will visit you. He will convict you. He will draw you. And he will send you somewhere where you will hear the gospel preached to you. I am a firm believer in that. I find it in his word. Friends, it is by the foolishness of preaching. He has chose that way to save them that believe. Friends, it is by the foolishness of preaching. He has chose that way to save them that believe. You have to understand exactly where you are. You have to accept responsibility for what you've done. And you have to understand you can't fix it yourself. You can't do it.
There you go.
I tried. I'm sure I'm not alone. There might be one or two of you here that has tried it too.
We've all done it.
And I want you to know, I'm not saying you won't try it. I'm saying you'll fail when you do. But praise be to Christ that He's right there. He's right there. You're important to Him. He loves you. You're not somebody, let me tell you, we look and we judge in different ways.
Yeah, we do.
And we may say, oh, no, I don't. Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
I do. Let me put it that way. I do. I don't mean to do it, but I do it sometimes. But I want you to know that Jesus Christ, again, He looks at the heart. He looks there. I can tell you, I read about a rich man in here. And Brother Willie, this rich man, he had everything that this world could offer. And I want you to know that the people of this world probably wanted some respect from that man. They probably did stuff for him so that they could get a little honor from that man. You see, and then there was this little beggar man. And this little beggar man, he didn't have those things, did he? And you know what? These same people that probably wanted praise from this rich man, they would walk right by him. And you know how I know that? Because the Bible says that the dogs had more compassion on him than the rich man. Because you see, friends, no doubt people looked and they would say, boy, that man up there, he's really, he knows how to do things. But I want you to know that God does not look at those things. God looks at your heart. He looks at your heart. And you know what? That puts us all on equal ground.
It does, brother. That's right.
It puts us all on equal ground. Because if it was up to whoever had the best job or made the most money, I'd be in trouble. I'd be in trouble. If it come to, like it was back a few centuries ago, what they were all saying, and you could buy your way in, and not only that, but you could give enough money to maybe people who had gone on, you could ensure their safety too. That's what was going on in the churches back a few hundred years ago. That's what they were doing. But you see, they was keeping this from them. They didn't want them reading themselves. I love what Martin Luther said whenever one of them came to him and said, what would we do? What would happen if more people had the Bible? And he replied to them, I guess we'd have more Christians. And that's a good answer. And I want you to know, friends, this is not something you just put on the coffee table. This is a road map. It's an instruction manual. It tells you of one way. It does not tell you of different ways or different routes you can take. I tell you, I've got a GPS, and sometimes that GPS fails. Y'all ever done that? Sometimes you go and you say, wait a second, this is not right. Let me tell you something, this is right. This tells you about Jesus.
That's road map.
It tells you exactly what you must do. It answers that question, what must I do to be saved? You must put your trust in Jesus Christ. That thief on the cross, I don't want to leave him hanging there. That thief on the cross, he realized his faults. He understood that life didn't hold anything for him. He understood that he was going to die.
He confessed, brother.
And friends, he did not want what this world had to offer at that point. He confessed what he was. He knew from the heart who was beside of him. He knew that this was a blameless man. And he asked for him to remember him. Remember him. And you know what? There wasn't an 8-month waiting period. There wasn't all those things I talked about, all those things you have to do that you hear sometimes. Jesus said he would remember him, and that
this day,
this night, I'll remember you. You shall be with me in paradise. I want you to know, friends, I know it gets confusing sometimes because you'll hear, you have to do this, you have to quit. It's not about what you get out. It's about what you get in. That's what it's about. Because I quit all the stuff that they told me I had to quit and I was still lost. But whenever the Holy Spirit, Brother Terry, came into me, I was saved. And it's an everlasting salvation. I heard, and Brother Terry said this last week, and I've embraced it. It's, you hear things sometimes over and over, but sometimes somebody will say it, and it sticks. Brother Terry, this sticks. What you said has really, really stuck with me. And friends, I want you to know, it is not what you get out. It's what you get in. It's what you get in that counts. Get Jesus in your life.
Yes.
Like I said, I loved it. You preached it so beautifully.
Helping God.
Get Jesus Christ in your life today. And again, He's in your life, but get the Holy Spirit. Be born of that Spirit. Trust in the Lord Jesus. Friends, He will never lead you down the wrong path. I want you to know I love you. God bless you. That thief on the cross, he trusted.
Yeah, he did.
And he's better off today. Where's your heart at, friends? Where's your heart at? I want you to put your heart where it needs to be. And that is in Christ Jesus. God bless you. I did the best I could.